Welcome to the Creatives Experience Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Isaac Whedon. On each episode, I will be speaking with artists and bringing you in on their life, faith, and creative experience. I'm excited for you to be joining us today. Thank you for listening. So without further ado, let's get to it. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Creatives Experience Podcast. I am privileged to be able to share with you. I have a very special guest all the way from the UK joining me today. His name is Stephen Bradley. If you've been blessed at any point whatsoever through the Good Christian Music blog, which has been massively a part of me understanding and seeing that there's so much amazing creativity that God is using and also challenging the status quo for Christian music, I believe Stephen has very much so been at the center point of this, and he's been using him and the YouTube platform and everything that has been on his heart to really bring the body of creatives to a step closer to what God's intention has been for creatives as a whole. So without me jumping in any further, I just want to do a quick message from our sponsor. So we'll jump into that right now. All right, awesome. So Stephen, bro, thank you so much for joining me, man. It really, really is a privilege to have you here with me today, man.
Thanks, Isaac. It's great to be on here. Great to chat.
Praise God. So where in the UK are you at?
So I live in Sheffield, which is pretty much right in the middle of the country.
Oh, it's in the country. So from London, was it 3 hours from you?
Yeah, about 3 hours. Okay. Technically, it's considered like the very south part of the north.
Okay, that sounds legit.
Yeah, in England, we get very, very particular about north and south.
Without a doubt. I wouldn't doubt it at all. Wow. So, bro, I want to encourage you. What you have done in your obedience to God leading you to do what you've done, such as with the Good Christian Music blog, my wife and I really struggled with being able to worship the Lord in regular, I'd say, I don't know if it's contemporary or just like alternative rock type of Christian music that's been just overwhelmingly controlling the whole Christian music scene. And myself, I grew up in church from zero. My dad was a pastor and I played drums on the worship team since four and onwards throughout my life. And I was overly saturated with this type of music, where I got to a point where I wanted to truly pursue Christ on my own. Not that I couldn't, but for some reason, I couldn't get myself to listen to that music because it was just, it's just overdone for me. And I couldn't connect with the Father in a way where I could continuously listen to something, because I believe there's something beautiful within different styles of music that speak to people differently because they have different tastes, you know, and you can't box taste into each person. And so when me and my wife ran across the blog, we're like, whoa, this is cool. And then the first worship mix you made with the one with the green leaves.
In the quiet,
bro, no joke. We've played that thing. No joke, bro. At least 2,000 times. Like, at least, man. Every morning, any day we get in the Word together, there's a season I was at home a lot more than I was at work. And every day we got into the Word, man, we hit the mix and just either have conversation, pray, worship God. Anytime we're sharing the gospel with somebody or we got to pray over them or whatever, we'll just like play it in the background. That alone, that one mix alone introduced us to all the artists in the mix, right? And then I'm like, who's this Montel guy? And then, you know, running into Montel and running into all these other artists, Jonathan Ogden and every, I'm just like, wild, all these dudes, right? And I'm just like, man, how many of these people are out there? Yeah. And never bothered to really like search for Christian music. It just somehow hasn't ran across my mind. And then this just started this whole wave of finding new things. And in my quest to also become a producer, also to make music of my own, it gave me the encouragement to know that it's out there. God is doing it. Like, there are people challenging the status quo and doing things outside of the norm. And for some reason, I think like the millennial-ish generation enjoys that, kind of challenging the norm and also allowing God to not be boxed, which he has been for so long. And so I just thank you on behalf of my wife and I, bro. You've played a massive part in us just being able to worship the Lord freely and find and run into other artists that glorify God in the way that really speaks to us. So thank you.
Wow. Well, you're welcome. Honestly, it's a pleasure, man. And yeah, it's cool. It's always so encouraging to me to hear about how it's affected people like yourself and countless others as well, especially because I think it's kind of always a little bit of a weird role being the person that sort of connects the musicians to the listeners, because the way I kind of see it is it's like I'm doing it for the sake of both parties, that it's like I'm serving the listeners because I'm connecting them with music, like you say, that connects with them in a way that other music hasn't, and doing it to kind of empower and enable these musicians to reach more people and to reach further, and that kind of like taking these people like the Jonathans and the Montels that are worshiping God in their bedroom with some equipment and showing that it's like, you know, like this is really vibing with people, this really means something to people, and it can go further and you can continue just being released to do that, basically. And so it's always really encouraging to hear how it's affected people, because I think the musicians probably hear it more than I do, because, you know, it makes sense to go and speak to the musicians and tell them about like how like this song or that song has really impacted you. And so I feel like I'm sort of like a digital introducer.
That's cool.
Like that guy that just connects people. It's like, hey, like, wow, get on with this person. But sort of doing it on such a like macro level that,
for sure,
sometimes you can kind of, at least for me, like I can really forget the impact that it's having sometimes. But I think that's why I find it interesting you talk about the mix, because I think that's a way for me that it feels like I can be a little bit more hands-on and personal in that.
Without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt.
Because that mix like means a lot to me as well. That was just this sort of idea I had one day of, you know, what would it look like to do essentially like a soaking mix, but that's not just soft instrumental music. And is a has like a variety of genres in there, but is also done in this way that it kind of takes you on a journey and the songs are linked together in a really thought out and kind of crafted way. Like really paying attention to how one song goes into the next, that it doesn't sort of like,
it's not choppy, it's not wrong, the wrong tune, it's not,
exactly. And even kind of create these like really interesting moments that you wouldn't get from listening to the two songs individually.
That's good. Yeah. You know what's so funny? So later on, we looked up all the songs from that mix and just put them on a playlist, right? On like Spotify or whatever. And we'll have that in our like worship playlist, right? But since I've listened to the mix so many times, I expect the next song to pop in like in the middle of the ending. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? And then you realize, wow, he mixed that really well. I like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't know when things end. And that's really, and as someone who also DJs, I really appreciate good transition. Like a transition is, man, that's what makes a DJ. Without transition, you don't need to be up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, or up there. You don't need to be DJing. Like, Spotify will do that for you with like those transition pieces or whatever. But man, you need to fit. And then do you do those on Ableton or FL, or how do you?
Yeah, so I put them together on Ableton.
So do you produce as well, bro? Do you make music? Do you?
I do. It's a bit of a secret.
You heard it here first, folks.
So it's interesting though, because I only started producing about a year into running the YouTube channel. Partly just because I kind of got to this point of essentially like being a bit of a music critic and kind of listening to songs. And I lived with I lived with a few people at the time, but two of them were producers, and one of them, super talented musician. One of those guys is just like, annoyingly talented.
I got you. I get it.
And so they kind of like encouraged me quite a bit to sort of do some stuff and step out a little bit more. But a lot of the production stuff for me kind of takes a bit of a backseat. Because I guess like I just find it easier to kind of shout about other people and to lift other people up. And
I got you.
I'd rather spend my time doing that. And so, and I think even just in a sense of like, I think doing music myself just became a little bit of a space for me to be creative and to have space to process, to worship God myself. And it's really difficult as soon as something starts to become like work or you're going towards a project, it can really just like take a lot of joy out of it and take a lot of the goodness out of it as well. So I try to kind of keep that as a bit of a space of like, here's somewhere where I can just be a bit free to explore God and explore what he's saying and what he's doing in my life.
Very cool.
But yeah, it's good because it means that I'm able to kind of take those skills and apply it to things like putting those mixes together and doing it in a way that I think it's so easy to kind of just say, okay, here's 30 songs that sound kind of similar, sound really nice, and I'll throw them together and put it out as a dance mix or worship chill mix.
Word.
But putting these mixes together takes so long. So I'll have to have about a list of maybe 60 to 80 songs to then put it down. And there'll be some songs that I really want to include, but there's just no way to bring them in.
Word.
Of like the tempo or
I got
the
it.
Key yeah. that it's in. And yeah, just, yeah. I'll save this for another one.
Mm-hmm. Dang, man. Oh, that's cool. It's nice to know all this background stuff, man. And I think many people, and artists including, like, they don't understand the importance of those who are willing to be in the background of things and like running a blog or managing artists or, you know, doing the things that really, I would say, are like the backbone of success for artists, you know. And unfortunately, I think because of maybe social media and all these other things, those things aren't glamorized, you know? And people are like, oh, I want to be a manager. Oh, I want to be a A&R. I want to be this, you know? And it's just like,
I want to be the guy that stands in the back.
Like. Yeah. I want to be the guy that collects the money at the end of the show. Whatever, you know, it's like, there is a gift for that. You know, there are people who are gifted in that. And I think when such people realize that, it's like, all right, God, now what do you want me to do with that? You know, do you want me to, because I believe everyone is multi-gifted. It's not just like you're literally capable of doing one thing. It's like, God, you've given me all these different things I can do. Which one do I choose? You know, because I do think God's like, he's generous and giving us the opportunity to not only the capacity and the ability to do it, but he will give us multiple opportunities to do any of those things. But what's your heart posture in it? You know, it's like, God may give you a talent to make music, to do stuff like you're doing, to make videos, to do whatever, but it's like, all right, what's your heart posture towards that? Because that will drastically affect the route that it will take, you know?
Yeah.
And so I encourage you to continue to like keep pushing farther in this, bro, and just like continuing to ask the Lord, like, God, you've given this not only platform, but this opportunity to do some really big things. And like, you got a big voice on YouTube now, you know, and a lot of people know about what you're doing. And I know for you, it's not about you, which is super dope. And that what that like glorifies God even that much more, you know? But I really believe, and I've talked about this with other people on different episodes, where I believe we're in this season right now of Christian creatives being able to put out so much good stuff because we are coming very close to the return of Christ, and the world will be saturated with the truth, and it will be presented, whether it be sonically, whether it be through art, in whichever shape, visual, physical art, dance, whatever. And I do think also on looking at a political view, or politically taking a look at what's taking place, whether it be in the UK, America, all over the world, there's definitely a spirit of Antichrist coming across politics and coming across what people want for their lives, and, you know, choosing this and choosing this, and it's starting to affect everyone. And it's coming to a point where our faith won't be accepted because it will be bigoted, or it will, they will call it bigotry, or they will call it, you know, you're being a this, you're being a that, when you're just standing on the word of God, when it never has been an issue leading up to this point. So I believe there's a level of persecution that is going to come upon the church that we have yet to experience in the free world, in a sense. And we're now in this like season of reaping the harvest and really just putting stuff out because we can, you know, like just what in the last 10 years we had the internet, or am I wrong? Is it longer than that? How long have we had the internet now?
Be like 20 years.
So just 20 years, like my life, it's just been just new internet. That's just the last 20 years. And God, knowing that that was going to take place and open up doors to literally do the unthinkable.
Yeah.
You know? And so I believe when Jesus said, you will do greater works than I, he had the internet in mind. You know, he's like, guys, there's going to be something that you don't even understand. Like he could have mentioned it and they'd be like, that makes no sense. What do you mean we could all be connected at one time and talk? Like, there's just no way. What kind of demonic stuff is this? But, you know, considering all these tools we got today, we can do the impossible, you know? Yeah. And so my hope for you and my encouragement to you is you keep pushing that envelope, bro, because God's put you in a powerful position, I believe, and especially the indie artist sphere. And you're making things happen for people that there's no way they would be able to make it happen outside of your help. So keep going, bro. Cause I know things get hard. I know things get frustrating, whether it be YouTube policies, whether it be monetization issues, whether it be, I saw some stuff you experienced. Maybe you could touch on this, recently. It was like about this year. Yeah. Cause I'm also on a Facebook YouTube creator, Christian creator page or whatever. And I saw you mentioning about you had some issues with the financial aspect of YouTube.
Yeah, so YouTube changed their policies, and because it's like AI implemented, it hasn't sort of been rolled out to everyone at the same time. So I think there's still a lot of channels that will face this to come. But basically YouTube is trying to cut down on what they classify as reused content. And so when they define reused content, they are basically meaning if what you're sharing already exists on YouTube somewhere else, then it's reused content. Even if, so say if like someone puts out a song on their YouTube channel and they have 5 subscribers and it reaches 5 people, and then I share it on a channel to like hundreds of thousands of people, YouTube doesn't care. The way they see it is just that I've taken content that already existed on YouTube. So I'm not adding any, the way they see it is I'm not adding any value to YouTube because the content already exists. And it's to kind of cut down on things like, you know, when movie trailers come out and there'll be tens of other channels that post the same trailer.
Sure.
They're trying to cut down on things like that because they
oversaturation of certain content.
Yeah. And they see it as like lazy creation. And so it's to cut down on things like that. It's to cut down on like Vine montages or just any sort of montage videos, whether it's like 10 best season or whatever.
Not that those are that bad.
That's the thing. It's like, it's just that the way YouTube sees it is that
it's a business for them, you know? It's a business.
Yeah, and they're really just trying to focus on making YouTube about original content. And to try and stop people from just cashing in on other things. So again, like a classic example would be someone posts a video that starts to go viral and then a big meme channel will pick it up, take it and earn all the money from it. And they're trying to come down like that. There is a good aspect of it, but there was no warning to this happening. So I got hit with this and with no warning, they didn't even email me to tell me. I just noticed by looking at my stats. And they demonetized me, removed me from the YouTube Partner Program, even though And this is the thing, I've explained this to so many people and so many people in the music industry. Mm. And they say, oh, well, is it to do with copyright? And it's got nothing to do with copyright.
Wow.
Every time I've shared music, every song I've ever shared, I've always sought permission to feature it. I never feature anything without the copyright owner's permission.
Sure.
And so I didn't have any copyright strikes, but because I'm sharing songs that already exist, and especially since YouTube is now a streaming platform like Spotify.
That's right.
When you distribute music, just as it appears on Spotify on the day of release, it appears on YouTube on the day of release as like an automated YouTube thing. Mm. Or almost create a channel.
I've mistakenly done that, and I'm just like, why did they make another channel for me? What the heck?
Yeah. So the thing that's really cheeky about it is YouTube backdates the release date of every release to the day before, because technically they release everything. I think they see it that they release everything at midnight. And obviously one part of the world reaches midnight.
That's right.
And so if you release a song on the 10th of October, on YouTube its date is the 9th of October.
Wow. And so
loads of my channel, I'd shared songs on the day of release. I had permission from the artist.
Yeah.
I was putting it out, and it now just classified as reused content. YouTube stopped me the money. So I basically, and I had no idea if it would ever get fixed or resolved. And yeah. I was just, me and my wife were just dependent on God, because we were just left there. I mean, this is now my income. This is my job. I left my job so that I could invest my time running this and supporting artists. And I went 6 weeks in the end without getting paid, and I will never get that money back. And that was tough, really tough, when you've lifted other people up so that they could earn an income, and then YouTube kind of just turns on you like that, and you're left there just praying like, Jesus, what? I'm doing this because I feel like you've called me to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm going out on a limb here. I'm trusting in you for everything.
Mm.
And something like that happens. And it was funny at the time. I'd been reading a lot of Romans and reading a lot of around the idea of rejoicing in suffering, which is a concept often lost on like the modern world
quite often.
And so I was just there, and it was almost a moment of, okay, God, I'm going to choose to rejoice in this, because if you're doing this for the sake of my character, then I'm ready and I'm all for it.
Yeah.
If this is because you want to create something new in me and prepare me for something ahead, or even just bring out more of my character to look like you, then let's do this. But man, it was tough. It was painful. And there were plenty of voices and plenty of wise, like Christian voices saying to me, you know, maybe it's time you just go and get a real job. Maybe it's time to call it a day.
What a horrible phrase, real job. Like, how small-minded is that, you know? My God. Oh, wow, bro. That's heavy. But now everything's back to normal?
It's been resolved. It just means that now I can't share songs. Well, I can only share songs if I post them before release. And because of that thing about YouTube backdate and stuff, if a song comes out on Friday, I try to post it on Wednesday now to avoid this.
Dang. So people could be like, hey guys, my song's dropping on Friday, but you can exclusively find it on Good Christian Music Blog.
Yeah. So a lot
that's kind of cool. That's, I mean, I think that's like, wow, you get it before everyone else. That's not too bad. But that much more effort for you though.
Yeah. And the sad part of it is I had to delete about half of the channel.
Dang.
Yeah. It was literally like the Thanos snap.
Wow.
I was there. And
it's probably like millions of views.
Dear Lord. Not just that, but those songs mean something to a lot of people.
Yeah, they like can't find it no more.
Some of them people are struggling to find, or for whatever reason.
Which then there's like a bunch of like messages you got to get back to, and all this extra crap that is unnecessary. Yeah,
and it was hard for me as well. I remember. So I kind of knew about 4 weeks into this whole process, I kind of knew that this was going to have to happen. And I really prayed over it for about a week. And at the end, I was there and I just said, God, okay, if this is what I need to do, you know, maybe it is literally like the refiner's fire that, you know, you're burning off what needs to go. And this is a change that I wouldn't have been able to do without this happening.
Wow.
But the Lee in some of those songs was hard for me because I started this channel pretty much the month after I became a Christian.
Wow.
And so all of these songs I've ever shared have always meant a huge part to me, and sure, obviously some more than others, but some songs in particular have been huge parts of my walk with Jesus, yeah, and my faith life. And deleting it was, it felt like after deleting 250 videos, it felt like I was grieving. And I'm a nostalgic guy as it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
So I don't like to throw away like sentimental objects and possession stuff, and so that really felt like that. And you get the message from YouTube when you delete something where it says, like,
"Are you sure?
Get it back? Are you sure?"
Oh man,
no, I'm not sure.
But, but you're making me do this.
Yeah.
Wow. How bogus, right? They're like, "All right, we're making you do this," and then they ask you on top of that, "You sure you want to do this?"
Sure,
like,
sure?
Bro, yeah. Get out. Don't even ask me.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
It was tough, but I mean, it's interesting. It came at a really interesting time because I'd already been looking towards changing the channel, doing a lot more original video content, creating, launching some new series and stuff. Cool. And I had about like an 18-month plan to move towards this stuff.
Whoa.
It was on those situations.
Man, you're meticulous, man. That's like, amazing. Wow.
Yeah, and it was a sort of situation where I go, okay, I guess it's a 0-month plan then. We're just going for it now.
Wow.
It was really tough, and I had to, it happened over summer, and I had to just work really hard and just do whatever was necessary to kind of get things moving again, and
amen,
do a lot of work that I didn't get paid for and won't get paid for. And yeah, and again, kind of going back to your earlier point, it's stuff that happens in the background so that like others can be elevated and others can be put first. And so it's, yeah, it was really tough. It was really tough, but God is good.
But there are treasures in heaven waiting, my friend.
Yeah.
Treasures in heaven. I think that's one of the, like, most encouraging aspects also of following Christ is understanding that obviously it's not about the money, right? And just being like, God, my hope is that my life submitted unto you is everything. Like that, yeah, that is worship. That is above worship songs. That's above all that. And you'll be faithful to your word and taking care of your children, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely.
Crazy, yeah, man. I'm like, I feel heavy just hearing all that. Like, if I had to go through all that, bro, it'd definitely be something.
Yeah, it was scary. It was really scary. But for me, it was one of those moments, one of those, you know, cliche, like, seasons of my life. It was one of those.
Is that like a Christian, yeah, is that a Christian word? I don't know if other people call it seasons, but I feel like we say it all the time. Oh, it's a new season the Lord's leading me through.
Yeah. It was one of those times where I guess a lot of stuff that I say and sing and that all of us talk about was kind of put to the test. Not, I mean, maybe that's a wrong word because I don't think we're tested in that sense, but I guess almost like bringing out a new integrity and authenticity in myself.
Cool.
Okay, when I say that I will follow Jesus no matter what, and like Jesus talks about these things, you know, yeah, there's a guy in the Gospels that he says, "What must I do to follow you?" And Jesus says,
sell
all your possessions. Yeah. And the guy's like, well, you don't even hear his response, so I'm assuming
he just goes away like sad. Yeah.
I mean, we never hear about him again, so clearly he didn't follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And there's another one where Jesus says, well, you can follow me, but you know, I have nowhere to sleep. Like foxes have dens, birds have nests, but there's nowhere for me to put my head. And again, just this idea that, you know, following Jesus, there's cost. There's cost to it and there's sacrifice to it. And if we haven't had much cost going on to follow Jesus, I think you've got to do some kind of soul searching and some digging because it's going to be a sacrifice. And yeah. And so I don't know. It's like, how do you approach those situations when you face them? Like, how do you approach the storm when it comes? Have you built up the foundations that can weather the storm?
Yeah.
What do you do when you're thrown in the fire? Yeah.
Crazy, man. Wow. You being able to experience all these things and also being, how long has this channel been running now? How many years?
I launched it in 2013.
Wow. Oh my gosh. You've been doing it a while. So with everything you've seen, with all the music you've heard, with all the artists you've been in touch with, what would be something you would challenge artists with personally? Like, hey, you guys need to improve on this, or why aren't you doing this? Or this is something that not enough of you do, or so I guess something that, yeah, challenge, not an encouragement, but a challenge that I guess later will bring encouragement.
It's funny you ask this. I feel like I have more challenges than most people, and I'm not afraid to challenge stuff. I mean, one of the things...
Bring the heat, bro. Bring the heat.
one of the things that's always been key for me is that the channel is independent, and I don't charge for people to be featured. I can't be bought in that sense, because if that's the case, or if companies invest in it, then I feel like it removes that barrier for me, and I can't kind of challenge things. And so because I don't rely on anyone's money, I've been in situations where I'm chatting to important people in the industry and I'm just calling stuff out, and they're surprised by it because they've never heard it before.
Yeah.
Because normally a lot of people are in the positions they're in because of the people they know or because of the links they have. And so it's like, if you challenge someone above you, just like the rest of the world, like, you'll get pushed to the side.
That's right.
Because I don't rely on anyone other than my audience, I can say these things that other people can't, and I have a bit of a free pass with it.
That's good.
And so many people want to get on the channel and appreciate it that they're left in this weird spot where I'm challenging things and they are challenged by it, but they can't just sort of push me to one side.
Because you're not like, it's not like you're biting the hand that feeds you. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. It's like, hey, it's...
Exactly.
That's cool.
So it's a good position to be in. But in terms of challenged artists, I think there's a few. I think one of the things I've been thinking for a while, and it's just kind of been exaggerated over the last few months, or I guess not exaggerated, more just like a spotlight has come onto it, is... A lot of Christian hip hop for a good few years now has just been nonsense. Like, I listen to Christian hip hop playlists and I'll get five songs in and think, what were those songs actually about? I can't even sum up what any of those songs were about. And it's just a lot of people just talking like, just utter nonsense and just... Yeah. Like faff, like people talking about like working hard and grinding, and there's this whole sort of hustle culture that's come into to not just Christian hip hop, but Christianity in general. And I just think it's anti-biblical. That's just not the approach. Like, where's the idea of that in even just looking at like the biblical concept of Sabbath and resting and trusting that we don't need to work 7 days a week because God has it all, and God is the one that gets us there. And so I think the interesting thing that's happened with Kanye West recently, regardless of your stance on him, is he's done this album where he's taken a lot of stuff really seriously to say, when you look at the position he's come from. So even if you just look at the fact that before it came out, he said, there's not going to be any swearing on this next album. And he's done it. Like, he's stuck to his word on that.
Yeah.
And this album... It unashamedly talks about God. It talks about Christ. It talks about, you know, it ends with Jesus is Lord and every knee will bow.
Yeah.
And he talks about these things and says these statements that I haven't heard in Christian hip hop. Obviously, there's some people that have been doing this, but on the whole, I haven't heard these things in Christian hip hop for a long time. And so people are saying things like, oh, Christian hip hop's been doing this for a long time, what Kanye has done. And honestly, no, I don't think it has. I think it used to do this. I think it did this well, but I think what kind of happened, and I don't really know enough about them to make a judgment on it, but I think Reach Records and Lecrae felt a call to go into the mainstream a little bit more, and that was their decision. And like I said, like I'm not really here to judge whether that was a good call or not, and honestly I don't really mind either way. Like, that's what they felt was their decision,
for sure.
But I think what happened from that is I think a lot of people then decided to just suddenly do the same, and suddenly we had this like whole wave of not a Christian rapper, just a rapper who's a Christian. And Kanye's come out of the place and just gone, I'm a Christian everything. And I just think, well, amen to that.
Amen.
Even if you don't really know what you think about Kanye, when he says that, I think there's a truth to it. Like, being a Christian impacts every part of my life. And yeah, it might be weird to call myself like Christian whatever, but that is actually kind of the truth. We are a Christian everything. Mm. And so I think a lot of people just sort of followed this wave that happened of, I'm not a Christian rapper. And people just started writing a lot of songs about, like, usually just like sports metaphors and like shoot my shot or like whatever. I don't even know if that's a song, but there was a lot of this kind of stuff and people aiming for like these sports playlists and these placements, like to get your songs like played by like basketball teams and things like this. And I just think that the real challenge has actually come from Kanye coming out of nowhere and just challenging this whole culture. Yeah. So that'd be my first challenge. And I think kind of linked to that is this challenge of work out what you're trying to do and start from there. Mm, so
that's good.
I have plenty of friends who are professional musicians who are in the mainstream industry and the secular industry because that's where they felt called to. And I love these guys and I know that they love Jesus too. I see it in their lives and I see it that you're following your call and you're doing it well. And there's plenty of other people I know who are doing it in worship or in the indie Christian scene. Whereas I think where the tension comes from is when people try and do one thing and then change their mind or kind of just this idea of like, I'll just take whatever opportunity I get. So sometimes you see it where there's been people who from the outset, the goal for them has always kind of been, well, I want to hit the secular industry. I want to hit the mainstream industry.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you release your song and no one's picking up, you think, okay, well, I'll send it to these Christian blogs and players because they'll pick it up. And then once you get the ball rolling and you get steam to what you're doing, it's then people having to write open letters and stuff. And it's like, oh, I'm not this anymore. I'm moving out. And you kind of think, well, I always saw that in your music anyway. But in my mind, it's like, you can't then be annoyed that your audience and the fan base feel a little bit betrayed because you kind of have betrayed them because you've essentially just used them as a marketplace to push yourself.
Wow.
And so I think if you're going for the secular audience, then stop relying on Christian audiences to pay That's your
good.
Way.
That's good.
And vice versa. So I just think actually, and yeah, like you've got to work out like who is the audience you're trying to reach? Who is the message for? Where are the places you want to go? And actually turn down the opportunities that are good opportunities, but just don't really match up with what your vision is for us. Because I think that's where a lot of tension comes from. I think there's also a third challenge. You'll have to stop me at some point.
Nah, bro, keep it running, man. I love it.
I think a third challenge would be, I think a lot of Christians often see something that they like, that like someone's doing, or see something that looks good and they think, oh, that's a good idea. Like I could do that and just go for it. And there's this, and you used to get bizarre scenarios happen where I've seen people email Christian artists before saying like, hey, God told me that like, you're going to produce for me. So you're going to do it for free. You just think that's not how it works.
Wow.
Or not even that. I've seen people just straight up use other people's music and not even tell them, not even credit them. And then when they're confronted on it, it's, oh, well, it's for God. You think, okay, well, even so, if you're enjoying someone's music or you like what they're doing, tell them.
Yeah.
Like there's this idea and it kind of comes from that grind culture again, I think, of sort of like go out and get it. And it happens in so many ways where people see a sound, well, hear a sound that they like from a certain artist and think I could do that.
Mm.
And then basically just rip off other people. But it's just done in such a weird way. And I think I see it happen as well in like Christian fashion stuff, in Christian creatives, even in blogs and things. And I think we're supposed to be a family here.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that like you can't go and do those things or not to start those things. But if you're doing it because you've seen what someone else has done and you enjoy it, tell them, go and speak to them and say, hey, like, your music has really inspired me. I really want to go and make a similar sort of album. Like,
word.
You know, like, I've heard your lo-fi project or whatever, and I want to do something similar. It's inspired me to do it. Go and tell them. Or, hey, I've seen your clothing company and it's inspired me to do one. Because otherwise, we do just end up acting like competitors, and we do just end up competing. And
there's no competition in this, right?
And there's no competition, because it's like, if it's all for the kingdom, then it's for Jesus anyway. It's not ours.
That's right.
And so I just think if it's almost kind of like, put your money where your mouth is, in a sense of actually act out the things that we all say. No one is out there saying, hey, it is a competition, because everyone says the right thing, but a lot of people just don't walk in the right way. Word. Or actually do the right thing. So everything I'm saying, everyone would agree with, but a lot of us, and myself at times included, have just gone and done that way. You see what someone else is doing, you think, yeah, I want that for me. I can do that.
Yeah.
Just go and do it. But I think if we're a family, let's act like one. Because I think that was one of the biggest things for me when I became a Christian, started following Jesus, and started running this blog. So quickly, I just got shut out by so many people, and came into these situations where I was just shocked at how non-family-like it was. And it just really upset me and kind of hurt me as well, to be honest, to think, wow, I thought I joined a family here, but we seem to all just kind of subtly dislike each other.
Crazy.
And which was just really bizarre to me. And I just think I guess the challenge within that challenge would be that you've really got to kind of question, like, who is this for? Is it for yourself, or is it for the kingdom? And not only that, but it's like, part of something being for the kingdom isn't just as simple as it's all for God, so it's all good. Because actually, like, God is glorified in the way that his church responds as a community. And so I think when something's for the kingdom, it's for God, and it also is for the wider family. And so I think...
Yeah, the body kind of Christ.
Like, yeah, and like, you don't exist in a vacuum. Like, none of us do. And so... doing something purely for God alone, like, it has implications and practicalities in the way that works out, which looks like how we love one another. You know, it says we'll be known for our love for one another, and plenty of people that don't know Christ love one another, and they love each other well. So if we're to be known for our love for one another, it's got to be that much better than the way the world does it. And are we doing that? Honestly, I don't know.
Woo, boy, you're ripping, man. That's good, bro. I love it. Yes. I agree with everything you have to say. Yes. And, you know, even with that,
I think that's where the excitement happens. And I think that's why I think we're in a great season for Christian music at the moment, because there are so many people who have come up that are doing creative things.
Yeah.
And I think partly because there's been plenty of websites and channels and blogs like myself and a whole network of us doing things, where it's been this wider sense of, actually, let's do something for the culture of all of this. Let's do something that goes beyond ourselves. Cool. And that if one of us stops, that's not just the end of it. We've actually built up a culture where, and it also doesn't ride on just like single artists and bands anymore. So I think you look at like where things were 15 years ago, and there were just a couple very big names, and if they were to stop, it would almost feel like there's a huge void.
Word.
Whereas now I think there's such a family of people doing things that if one person were to drop off or stop making music for whatever reasons, that it wouldn't just be a sudden case of, oh no, where's everything gone? That's because we've kind of built a scene for this, we've built a culture for this, and we've built each other up and inspired other people to be doing stuff and to be looking further than just those single names and stuff.
Wow. Praise God. You know what I find funny, man? The three like Christian music blogs that I know about, being you, Gospel Hydration, Blessed Music, you guys are all in UK, bro.
Yeah, I know.
It's so crazy. Funny. I'm just like, what the heck, man? And I was asking, because I had an episode with Derek from Gospel Hydration, and I talked with, God, what's his name from Blessed Music? Yeah. So I had conversations with them as well. And I'm like, man, are you in touch with each other? Like, are you guys, do you guys talk about stuff? Not too much. I guess a little bit here and there. I'm just like, wow, that's crazy, bro. Like, there is almost synchronicity within everything God's leading, though, you know, where it's like, how on, like, you wouldn't have imagined that the three, I'd say, biggest independent blogs that I know about, they're all in the UK. Like, I don't know anyone in the United States doing this, you know?
It's really cool. It's funny because we've started chatting more recently.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I've met Derek a few times at various things.
Cool.
I've never met Tep, but we've chatted a few times as well. And we're starting to kind of talk about things like how can we not support one another. I don't think that's the right term, but just how can we again do something that's bigger than what all three of us are doing. So that, again, like, imagine a scenario where all three of us just stop overnight.
Shut up.
There's not just going to be a huge void that we've kind of left behind, but make something that is helping everyone and is bigger than ourselves.
That's cool.
And it is interesting that we've all come out of the UK, and especially because the scene here really isn't that strong in terms of, there isn't a scene for people touring and doing live stuff. It's not like you go to a certain city and you'd know where the stuff is happening. And even then, I know plenty of places where there's two artists in the same city doing interesting stuff and they don't even know about each other.
Crazy.
And the same for me. There's plenty of people I don't know about because it's so disconnected here. Mm. And I think part of it is probably, I think in lots of ways, in terms of like a post-Christian culture sort of
word. Concept,
the UK is ahead of America in that way. Mm. And so we've kind of moved away from church and Christianity like sooner and faster than America has.
Yeah.
And so I think part of it is that the church is just much more disconnected and disembodied here in many ways. There's plenty of stories of it of doing well, but as in, it's so not part of our normal UK culture now that I wouldn't be surprised if their stories of starting their channels would kind of be similar to mine, of this idea of I don't know where to go to find good music. I don't know.
Literally their stories.
and so thinking, well, let's start somewhere. And you kind of find a few people and find a few artists and think, well, let's start gathering this together. And I think that has kind of come from this idea that because there isn't a culture of it here, you feel that need quicker than perhaps you do in America. Because I think here, if you were to go to the average church and say, hey, does anyone know any music that's not Bethel or Hillsong? You'd probably only ever get one answer. It would be like Rend Collective.
For sure. Because
they're popular here. But other than that, you wouldn't really get anything. Whereas I think in America, like, people are more familiar with, even if it's stuff that leaves much to be desired, like K-Love. And there is still the concept. There's places to go to find this stuff.
For sure. For
even
sure.
If you have problems with those things, I think people are just more aware that there is a culture of it.
Mm. Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I'm really excited just to see what's going to take place over the next few years, you know, and also the multifacets of talent that is residing in each artist, and then being able to, you know, really press on where the ceiling has been set for what an artist can do.
Yeah. You know? So I think I've had ideas and been really praying into what is coming next over the next few years recently. Because so when I started this channel, it was a really different scene back then. There really weren't that many creative Christians or there were creative Christians, but as in the content being put out there wasn't as buried. There wasn't much indie stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And there certainly wasn't a scene or a place to find it. You'd maybe find one person that would put you onto two other people, but now there's a whole wealth of it. And there's plenty of stuff that happens that I come across something and I'm like, wow, I had no idea this was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that was so difficult 6 years ago. So I think what's happened in the last 6 years is a scene has been created that is now very much a strong indie Christian scene.
Yeah.
And I'm including all genres in that, but just this idea of like, we're not attached to big labels and we're doing things differently to just the big radio stations and church music.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's kind of come to a point where it feels like when you go from we call it primary school to secondary school. I don't know what school system is there. But you know that like jump from going to like a small sort of like your as a child to
it'd be going from like elementary school to like high school or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And I think there's this sort of idea that's happening where I think me and other YouTube channels and websites and blogs have hit somewhat of a glass ceiling. What is next? There's something new that's coming next and we're not quite sure what it is. And I don't know where things need to go. And we've had enough impact and influence on the industry now that we're seeing a lot of major labels create or start to dip into some of this indie talent, basically, and sign some of these artists that we've been backing for years and taking some of this music that 6 years ago was a huge risk. And it was an idea of, if we do an album with this person, is anyone going to buy it? Because it's a bit wacky and it's a bit out there. But now they're getting on board with this stuff because we've kind of proven that there is a bit of a scene, there is a bit of an audience for it. And so I think it's going to be, I'm encouraged for the next few years, but I think all of us have to be quite careful and use a lot of discernment with how things go moving forward, because I think it really is a time to go back to earlier challenge. I think it is a really good time for us to be digging into actually, like, we are family here, like, we're not competing, and really kind of set this tone, because otherwise I think the danger is that we just end up creating a version of the Christian music scene that already exists 15, 20 years ago, where the money is in a few pockets. It's just another monopoly. It's another empire that's been created. Works for a few people and then kind of goes stale and boring and collapses. And then you have to have a whole new wave of indie people come up again. I think the challenge and the encouragement is, like, let's get on board with each other. Let's really get behind each other. Let's not only ever look forward and look to the things that are bigger and leave behind the scenes that we've been part of, leave behind the artists that we've relied on to help get us places, but almost kind of like, this is family time now. Let's not look inward, but just, let's not just all be so focused on where we're individually going and like, oh, I'm working on this album, so I'm busy doing this. And to move away from this idea of like, oh, well, I do share other people's music. I do put other people's things out there. I'm not just focused on myself. But the challenge would then be like, yeah, but are you only sharing your friends' stuff? Are you only sharing it because you're friends with these people now, because you've connected? Because otherwise we just end up in the same situation as like 15 years ago. And it's like, all of us need to be mindful and careful to still be looking to the outsiders and the people who aren't there yet, who aren't where we are yet. And be sharing stuff beyond just our immediate net and our immediate family. But
like, kind of pulling people up with you.
Definitely. Like, let's make the family bigger. Let's make it more accessible and let's keep looking outwards. It's easy to kind of just be like, yeah, this is amazing. So many of us has come up, but how many of us haven't yet come up? And how many people are there to still come with us? And there's a whole new generation that's coming up. And you know, the teenagers these days, like, they are more internet savvy than us.
Bro, crazy. They
understand the social media culture much better than us. And things are going to change very fast. Like, you know, I'm 28 now and I'm like, I'm old in internet terms. And so what are we doing for the next generation? And are we going to include them or are we just going to go down the same route of it, like it's been for years, where each generation in church looks at the generation before, like, here's all the things they did wrong. And there's some good stuff in that because we can change things, but let's actually try and work with the next generation. And
instead of them being like, they, it's like, hey, how can we?
Yeah. And how can we pass it on to them and enable it? Because it's actually good. Ultimately, like, if we're building something bigger for ourselves, it's also an inheritance that we want to pass on to the next generation. Want them to inherit this scene and inherit this reach.
It's like Solomon wrote about.
Yeah, completely.
Good, man. That's good. Wow. Have you ever had a chance to talk to Montel's manager, Patrick?
No.
Actually, Bradley, also Patrick Bradley. Somehow related, maybe. I had a really, really good conversation with him for almost like 2 hours this week. He just like called me up, we were messaging back and forth, and I've had the pleasure to, you know, have him and his wife and Montel at my house this summer and just spend a week together and get to know each other. And very similarly with what you had shared, just like explaining the heart for what they're doing with Lord's Child and having the ambition and hope to be able to utilize these resources to bring up people with them as, yeah, as the Lord opens up opportunities for growth, you know. And they're really, I really can't help but see this level of synchronicity that the Holy Spirit's just kind of like putting on everyone. It's crazy, bro. Like, really, man, I'm just so stoked. like it's without conversation even, you know, it's just taking place and God's leading the hearts and yeah, it really is happening.
Yeah. And loads of us have been having these thoughts, and all of the challenges I've said are challenges to myself because it's so easy. Like I feel it now when I hear about people having these conversations and I haven't yet spoken to them, there's this, you want to go to like the orphan mentality of like, oh man, I've been left out of that. Or like, oh, like they're doing this, I want to be involved and doing that thing I talked about earlier of like, yeah, I want to do that. But it's like, the challenge is just to me as well, that it's like, connect with these people.
That's right.
Connect. Let's do these things together, or at least alongside each other, that we don't slip into that competitive mindset or mindset of like FOMO, basically, fear of missing out.
But
let's do this together. So I preach to myself when I say these things.
That's awesome. And I don't want to say I've said this on every episode, but on majority of all the episodes, I said, have the audacity to hit people up. Just, I mean, like today it's easier than ever. And especially if they're fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, what are you afraid of? Like, hit them up. What's the worst that can happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's this fear that I believe the enemy plays on where it's just like, oh, they're not going to talk to you. They're not going to have any time for you. They're too busy. They're too blah, 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 blah. But it's just like, yo, if we truly are the body of Christ and we understand that we're serving God together, well then, man. Let's be a body. Exactly. Yeah. Let's utilize this. And when you start to do that, and I've only shared that challenge or that advice because I've done that. And like, I'm talking to you right now out of the audacity to hit you up. Like every single person in this podcast is a testament to that, where it's just like, bro, I've been able to conversation. I've been able to speak with some of the biggest indie artists in Christian music recently. And if you would have told me last year, I'd be like, nah, there's no way. Like, there's no way that would have happened. But because of God's faithfulness and my willingness to just step out and be like, God, you've put this on my heart. I'm going to do this because I feel strongly about this. And if you're truly leading this, you're going to open up doors I can't fathom.
Yeah.
But it takes action, you know? And it's not just, oh, I have faith, but are you going to have the faith to step out?
Definitely. Like, have the faith to step out. And that's why it's like having that right heart about it as well. Mm. So that it's like, we have to do something. We have a responsibility and we have to take responsibility for getting to where God has called us. But it's like, we stay clear of that hustle and grind mentality by approaching it with a humility of, I want to talk to these people and hit them up because I just want to connect with them rather than I'm hitting these people up because they can do something for me.
Word.
And I think that's where it's like massive difference. And so it's,
And so another way to look at it would be, and I had a conversation with a guy yesterday that I randomly got in touch with on Instagram, got our numbers randomly, and he just hit me up out of the blue and was talking to me how he never feels this, but he felt God put on his heart to get in touch with a specific artist, right? And I know this guy also, and I'm just like, all right, bro, so what's stopping you? You know, he's like, bro, I don't really know how to go about it. And I'm just like, dude, just serve them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, how can I be praying for you? Hey, you've been a huge encouragement to me. You know, like, is there anything I can do? I mean, there are things you can do, even if you're not an artist or even if you don't have a huge platform. Like, if you have 100 people following you or whatever, that's 100 people. You know what I'm saying? So you could say to someone, hey, you've been a huge encouragement to me. What you've been doing has really blessed me. How can I help you? How can I be praying for you? Is there anything I can do? That, starting with servanthood, which is what Christ exemplified for us, will open up doors you've never imagined. You know what I'm saying? But you got to start with that.
Yeah, and if all of us are servant-hearted, like, it leads to a good place, because so many of us don't do that because we feel overlooked because other people haven't come and served us, and so we then don't serve others, and it's just we all end up feeling overlooked and poor me. But it's go and serve others.
That's good.
And part of that culture of serving one another, because we can all serve each other, we can all help one another.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, completely behind that.
Beautiful. Awesome, bro. Man, this has been a true treat. I really appreciate your time, man. And so at the end of every episode, I ask the guests to just bless the listeners and pray over them and just whatever God leads you to speak through prayer. And then I'll pray for you, bro, and then we'll outro out and we can enjoy the rest of the day. You cool with that?
Yeah, man.
It, awesome, bro.
My pleasure.
Fire at it. Awesome.
Oh, Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for this chat and this conversation and all the things you placed on mine and Isaac's hearts. I pray that as people have listened to this, you'd be speaking to them, giving them instructions and vision and insight into what you've called them to do, because you invite all of us into your story and into your journey and your mission, and all of us have a part to play in the kingdom. And specifically, I pray that you'd be giving people creative ideas, new creativity and creative skills that they haven't had before, because I believe that we're created in God's image and he's a creator and all of us can create. And so I pray you'd be giving people new creative skills and just passion as well to kind of go back to those things. Like, all of us know how to be creative when we're kids and we just forget it as we get older. So would you give us that childlike spirit when it comes to our creativity as a church? And out of that place, would you lead the church into a new revival that comes through the arts and creativity? Thank you for all that you're doing in that at the moment. And I just pray for more of it, that as the church, we want to be paving the way for what good art looks like, what good music sounds like, what good films look like.
Yes, Lord.
And so would you be raising up a new generation and a new heart and a new vision for all of those things? And yeah, Jesus, we just pray that you are at the center of it, you are the foundation of it all, and anything that is just in our name alone would just be washed away, because really we just want to see you lifted high.
Yes,
we want to see you glorified, and
yes,
we want to see the church lifted up, just so that people will see more of you. Give us a love that is greater, give us a love for one another that looks better than what we've seen so far. And yeah, would you unite your church, would you unite your creatives, and lead us into a new season that glorifies you and takes the church to places it hasn't been yet.
Yes, Father.
Amen.
Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. I agree with everything Stephen said, Father. I just ask that as he continues to valiantly pursue you and be obedient to what you've been putting on his heart, God, you just continue to bless him with new ideas, new strategies, new contacts, and people that he has yet to encounter that will help bring him to these different perspectives, Lord. I just thank you for his family. I thank you for his household, God. I just ask you continue to bless him, not only in his marital life, but also financial life, spiritual life, Lord. Keep leading him in every step that he's taking. And I just thank you for his obedience and being such a blessing to the body of Christ via the internet and also everything else he's been doing. I say all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Guys, if you enjoy this episode, as always, feel free to shoot a thumbs up, 5-star comment, feedback, whatever you feel led to do to help push this podcast forward for people who have yet to have a listen, so they can kind of get an idea of what this is all about. If you have anybody that you would love to be on the podcast, please shoot me a message, DM, email, whatever, so that we can get more people on here that you are looking to hear from. I've been very excited to hear from all of you and all of your feedback. So it's been really, really exciting. If there is a chance you are led to be a financial support to this podcast, please feel free to do so as well. There's an option to do that at Anchor. On my IG, you could find out some more information. But aside all of that, I think that's all I gotta. Yeah, that's all I gotta say. Bro, really, man, I truly appreciate your time. This has really been an honor to finally talk to you, man. I wouldn't have guessed, you know, 2 years ago when I thought I would meet you, that we'd be talking, you know, virtually face to face. And I'm very, I've been very blessed and encouraged with this conversation. And I will take all the challenges that you've said also to heart, and apply them to my own level of creation and my pursuit with the Lord.
Wow. Thanks, man. It's been a pleasure to join you.
Praise God. Awesome, man. Well, I hope this isn't the last time. And I do plan to just keep in touch with you just outside of podcasting. And anything, we'll be praying for you, and I'll reach out to you as time continues so that we can keep growing in the Lord together.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, guys, have a blessed day. Enjoy Jesus, and keep doing your thing. Peace.